Bible Study Fellowship, Revelation, The Hope, Lesson 3, The Exalted Christ Revealed. Focus Verse, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. What fills you with awe? Perhaps you are overwhelmed by the roar of Victoria Falls, or the vastness of Shanghai viewed from a towering skyscraper. Does a newborn child or the immense starry night leave you speechless with amazement? The wonders of this world pale in comparison to the majestic person and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, the author of Revelation, experienced a magnificent vision from Jesus Christ and of Jesus Christ. John fell at Jesus' feet like a dead man, in stunned worship before the Lord. The awesome reality of Christ's majesty is life-changing. John knew Jesus Christ personally and loved him deeply. He walked with Jesus during his time on earth. He worshiped, served, and suffered for the risen Christ over many years. God's new revelation of his Son's radiant glory and inexpressible splendor led John to write this book in worshipful and obedient response. John recorded this revelation from Jesus Christ, but first John encountered Jesus Christ. So will you as you read this book. The exalted Christ is worthy of worship. Division 1. The Prophecy's Blessing. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The central focus, Jesus. The name of the book in Revelation in Greek, Apocalypsis, means disclosure or unveiling and refers to something previously concealed or hidden. Christians now await of the coming of our Lord Jesus. The book's opening words stress the person of Lord Jesus, not simply a succession of events, as the central focus of this book. John's message communicates the revelation he received from God about Jesus. Some translations of verse 1 say, "the revelation of Jesus Christ." Does this mean the Lord Jesus himself revealed this book? Or that this book reveals the Lord Jesus? The answer to both is yes. Jesus is the awe-inspiring subject and the faithful source for all John saw and wrote. Revelation presents unfolding events that reveal more and more about Jesus, unveiled in all his glory, for his people to worship him wholeheartedly. God's stated purpose for Revelation is to show his servants what must soon take place. God's servants, those who believe in his Son and promote his cause, benefit from all that God revealed through and about Jesus and are prepared for the future through this urgent message. John wrote what he saw and heard, just as he had when he witnessed the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He recorded the truth of the cross so many would believe. In Revelation, John wielded the same solemn purpose. He verified what he saw, heard, and reported as God's true words. Truth from and about Jesus Christ solidifies our faith, gives us hope, and prepares us for what lies ahead. Spiritual beings in cosmic drama fill Revelation, a book of prophecy. These powerful images and events speak purposefully into our present lives and should not be feared by those who love Jesus. Scenes of judgment offer life-changing lessons, warnings, and powerful motivation to purify our hearts before God and share the gospel. Truth about God's judgment confirms people's accountability to God and promises the restoration required for true justice to prevail. Revelation provides unveiled pictures of Jesus' power, grace, and authority that elevate praise of and trust in Him. The certainty of God's Word and His eternal plan stabilizes and impacts our lives today. The author, John. Rather than introducing himself as an apostle or elder, John simply and humbly presented his name and his role as God's servant. From the earliest days of the church, most scholars have recognized the Apostle John as the writer of Revelation. As one of 12 men specially chosen and trained by Christ himself, John served among Jesus' inner circle. He so personally sensed Jesus' love that he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. John, along with his brother James and Peter, witnessed the blaze of Jesus' divine glory at his transfiguration. John heard the Father's unforgettable proclamation, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." As Jesus was mocked, scourged, and led to the cross, the other disciples scattered. John remained near the foot of the cross, alongside the faithful women who followed Jesus. From the cross, Jesus entrusted his mother's care to John. After Jesus ascended to heaven, John and the other apostles brought the gospel to Jerusalem and beyond. John, the Galilean fisherman, preached and taught God's word at Ephesus. John is believed to have shepherded and loved the church there for much of his long life. Tradition tells us that the Roman emperor, Domitian, exiled John to the rocky volcanic islands of Patmos, located in the Aegean Sea, just off the coast of Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. A Roman penal colony there supplied workers for the island's mines. Eusebius, an early church leader, wrote that John was sent there in AD 95, but was later released. In John's view, he was there because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John, persecuted and exiled because of his deep faith, remained faithful to speak and record the Lord's truth. The blessing. John begins with the first of 7 blessings in Revelation. His proclamation of blessing conveys the idea of a person flourishing through the study and application of the book. John shifts from singular to plural as he speaks first of God blessing the one who reads and then of God blessing those who hear, designating public response. John claims the stamp of God's authority for Revelation. God does not promise his favor to those who simply read or hear this book. God's blessing comes to those who take his message to heart. This invites us to apply God's words to our lives and expect him to speak as we study Revelation. This task is urgent. The time of Christ's second coming could be at any moment. The exalted Christ, the doctrine of God the Son. Rising above the fanfare in Revelation stands the central figure of the book and human history, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the second person of the Trinity, Jesus has always existed. At the God-ordained point in human history, Jesus took on human flesh, lived a life on earth without sin, and died a sacrificial death to redeem sinners. He rose in victory and ascended to his Father. One day, Jesus will return in great glory to judge the world, call his children home, and set up his eternal kingdom. The truth about Jesus' person, power, and prominence goes beyond mere facts. Not only is Jesus majestic and mighty, but his compassionate love toward people is also intimate and personal. Jesus calls, loves, and shepherds his children with tender care. What does it mean if we fail to recognize Jesus Christ as the source of eternal life and the judge who determines our eternal destiny? This world's deception and distractions cannot satisfy our deepest longings or solve the problem of our debt of sin. To disregard Jesus' beauty and sacrificial love means living life and facing eternity with only the fleeting pleasures and treasures of a fallen world. Neglecting to worship and adore the exalted Christ means missing the sweetest treasure and greatest blessing known to humanity. Those who look to God's Son for salvation discover life's most precious reward. Knowing Jesus means knowing peace in a world of turmoil. Incomparably loved, marvelously forgiven, and forever freed, believers experience purpose and hope that transcends their hardest trials. To know, love, obey, and honor Jesus represents life's highest calling and eternity's pleasure. Let us adore him. Division 2, The Prophecy's Message, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Greeting of Grace and Peace, chapters 1, verses 4 through 5a. In typical Greek form for a letter, John identified himself first and then those to whom he wrote. This letter would circulate among at least 7 churches in the Roman province of Asia, present-day Turkey. John greeted the churches with grace and peace, a common and meaningful greeting in the early church. Grace is God's undeserved love and kindness that reaches down to us in Christ. The Hebrew equivalent of the peace John offered is shalom, which includes wholeness and a sense of complete well-being. True peace always flows from the matchless grace of the Lord Jesus. At the mention of God's grace and peace, John erupted into spontaneous, spirit-inspired worship. The Triune God, Chapter 1, Verses 4 to 5. John's greeting comes from all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John extols the God who is, and who was, and who is to come. Though outside of, and supreme over time, God the Father employs and acts within time. Our security rests not in this fleeting life, but in the eternal God. The 7 spirits before his throne may point to the comprehensive ministry of the Holy Spirit. John mentions the Lord Jesus Christ, upon whom he then bestows 3 titles that expand our wonder at all Christ is. The Faithful Witness, Chapter 1, Verse 5a. During his earthly ministry, Jesus faithfully witnessed with his Father's authority. As a man, Jesus faithfully fulfilled the law and the prophets. He showed us how to live. Jesus called himself the truth because his words are true. Jesus is the faithful witness about the future awaiting his people. We live in a confusing world, filled with conflicting voices and unfaithful authorities. Jesus alone speaks clarity into this life and eternity. The Firstborn from the Dead, Chapter 1, Verse 5a. John's description of Jesus as the firstborn from the dead closely parallels Paul's expression calling Jesus the first fruits. Jesus leads God's people out of death into eternal life, one that is immortal and imperishable. He is the first to exhibit the new kind of life that all who trust Him as Savior will share. Supreme in every way, Jesus' resurrection conquered death on our behalf. Though residing in a world enslaved by death, the assurance of eternal life sets believers free. The Ruler of Kings, chapter 1, verse 5a. John declares Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ, the victorious conqueror, will establish God's kingdom. He reigns now in the hearts of all who believe in Him, and He will reign on earth eternally. This remains true whether people believe it or not. No human ruler or unseen enemy can threaten the God of all power. The book of Revelation portrays Christ and His authority with clarity and certainty. Jesus' care for His own, chapter 1, verse 5b through 6. John continues with a threefold statement of Christ's actions toward His followers, followed by our proper response. Jesus loves us, has freed us from our sins, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. People from many tribes and nations will serve God and one another in His kingdom. Take these personal descriptions of the Lord Jesus to heart and respond with praise. Jesus loves us, chapter 1, verse 5b. Jesus Christ demonstrated the depth of His love for us on the cross when He suffered and died for our sin. Jesus' love for His people remains constant amid every judgment that will come upon this world described in this book. Considering what Jesus has done for us, who could argue against His love? Jesus' love remains more certain and stabilizing than anything else in this world. No greater joy exists than being fully known and yet fully loved. Jesus freed us from our sin. Chapter 1, verse 5b. Jesus freed us from our sins by His blood. Believers are completely cleansed from sin's stain and released from their heavy burden of guilt and shame. Because Jesus fully paid sin's penalty on the cross, all who trust Him for salvation are forever free from God's deserved yet terrible judgment. Jesus broke sin's crippling grip, and His Spirit empowers His children to turn from sin more and more. One day, believers will live with Jesus, eternally liberated from sin's presence. Jesus made us priests. Chapter 1, verse 6. As we are members of God's community, Jesus consecrates us to serve Him as a kingdom of priests. He gives us the amazing privilege of representing Him to others. This description introduces the recurring image in Revelation of the temple of God. While God calls some to particular ministry roles in the church, all His people are called and positioned to serve Him. We communicate His gospel truth, extend His compassion, and intercede for others in prayer. The truth about God, contained in Revelation, equips and encourages believers as His representatives. Jesus is worthy of praise. Chapter 1, verse 6. After receiving and writing these awesome truths about Jesus the Savior, John erupts into words of worship and praise. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Worship rises freely when we understand who Jesus is and gain a glimpse of the depths of His love. Jesus' return, chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus will come again in glory. John's burst of prophetic splendor weaves together Old and New Testament promises of Christ's return. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Those who reject Jesus share the same destiny as those who demanded his death and nailed him to the cross. No wonder all will mourn. It is evidence of sorrow and repentance. The one they despised and rejected will receive all glory and power forever and ever. This is God's great reversal, a theme that runs throughout Scripture and Revelation. The slain lamb becomes the victorious lamb. Every eye will see him coming in clouds of glory. Slaves to sin will become a kingdom of priests. God's oppressed and persecuted people will be vindicated. The powerful will become powerless as Jesus returns in triumphant splendor. God's response, chapter 1, verse 8. God spoke, applying three names to himself, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, and the Almighty. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. God, the beginning of all creation, will reign without rival at the end of the age and every moment in between. Throughout Revelation, Christ bears the title Almighty, sometimes translated as Lord of Hosts, likely referring to Jesus' command of heaven's armies. The power and greatness of God, the supreme ruler, the Almighty One, transcends all else. Division 3, The Personal Vision of the Son of Man. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. John's identification with God's suffering people. Chapter 1, verse 9. Once again, John humbly introduced himself, this time as a brother and companion to God's people. John identified with suffering believers to strengthen those whose faithfulness to Jesus had been challenged. He encouraged the persecuted to take hold of the patient endurance they shared in Jesus. John's faithful witness for Jesus led to his exile on the Isle of Patmos. In John's time, and ever since, Revelation has brought powerful encouragement into the lives of struggling people. John's Vision of Jesus, chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. On the Lord's day, John heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind him. In the Spirit, John received a unique revelation from God. Suddenly, the invisible presence of the Lord became a visible vision. John received specific instructions to write what he saw on a scroll and send it to seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John turned to see where the voice originated. He spotted a figure amid seven golden candlesticks and witnessed a sight his words could scarcely describe. He could only tell us what it was like. He saw someone like a son of man. Daniel described the messianic figure he saw using these same words. This Hebrew idiom means a human being. Therefore, like a son of man means in human appearance. John noted the figure's long robe and golden sash, likely signifying high position, royalty, or perhaps the high priest in the temple. This image combines humanity and divinity. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. These words suggest age, holiness, and even more. Daniel applied this description to the Ancient of Days as reference to God himself. This points to Jesus' full deity an eternal rulership. He is before all things. His eyes were like blazing fire. One glance from the Savior pierces through all deception and impurity. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Bronze, the metal of weapons, fitted his feet for judgment. He would inspect the seven churches and the church throughout history. No opposition against Christ will stand. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. John may have been familiar with the roar of the pounding surf on Patmos or a rushing waterfall. The voice John heard was a mighty sound. In his right hand he held seven stars. Verse 20 explains that the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Each would receive a message as a part of John's vision. Some interpreters see these angels as symbols of the leaders of the churches, while many others see them as actual heavenly angels who are present with the Lord's people. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. God's word penetrates and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the human heart. Jesus' words expose and examine all who hear them. All his judgments are right and true. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Just as no one can look straight at the sun, the face of the glorified Lord Jesus shone with such blinding purity and holiness that no eye could see him and live. Long before, John had heard Jesus proclaim, "I am the light of the world." He believed Jesus' promise, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This vision of Jesus' splendor blazed into the darkness surrounding John. Jesus lights the way of all who suffer for Christ. As in John's day, he examines and directs his churches. Then, now, and always, Jesus sustains his people through his strength. John's assurance and commissioning, chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. The magnificence of God's Son so overwhelmed John that he fell at his feet like a dead man. With purposeful gentleness, Jesus stretched out his right hand and identified himself to John. He spoke powerful words expressing his identity. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus' reality and power transcend time, death, and every enemy. Jesus told John to write what he had seen and what would take place later. The Lord Jesus explained the symbolism of the seven golden lampstands and the seven stars. Jesus walked among these seven churches, and they belonged to him, and their power and light came from him. What a beautiful portrait of the magnificent reality of the Lord's presence with those he loves, his people, and his church. Jesus had specific messages for the seven churches because he knew and was present with his people. In the same way, Jesus knows and holds the future. He will return in power and great glory. Jesus brings insight that strengthens and changes us. His love is everlasting. He is living, active, and exalted in glory. The exalted Christ is worthy of worship. Take to heart. Hold fast. Exiled on the island of Patmos, the Apostle John received a prophetic revelation from God. John's faithfully recorded testimony blesses all who read and take the message to heart. John's opening doxology to seven churches in the Roman province of Asia praises the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, Jesus loves his people, a kingdom of priests who eagerly await his return and serve him wholeheartedly, even in difficulty. John identified with suffering believers as he recorded his glorious vision of the resurrected Christ. He did his best to describe Christ's brilliance, whose power and majesty flooded his senses. Overcome by Jesus' glory, John fell at his feet like a dead man. With gentleness and purpose, Jesus commissioned John to record what he had seen, along with what soon took place. God intended this message for his people, particularly the seven churches who bore his name. Apply it. John's opening words offer a timely invitation. We stand on the brink of a deep study of Revelation, a book often considered mysteriously out of reach. John promises a blessing for those who hear Revelation's message and take it to heart. How do we do that? What will help us go beyond the symbolism and images to grasp what God intends us to understand? This book promises blessing, hope, and insight when we read it with open minds and worshipful hearts. The one who speaks is Jesus himself. Approach each passage expecting to learn more about God, his character, and his eternal plan. Trust God with what you cannot comprehend, and firmly apply what you do understand. The study of Revelation involves more than our intellect and curiosity. God intends to speak directly to our hearts. Are you ready? The powerful book of Revelation was given through a suffering man to encourage suffering believers. What did God know his people needed most? John's testimony in Revelation underscores God's ultimate control of everything and the certainty of his promises for his own. God will vanquish evil and judge those who oppose him and persecute his people. God's prevailing justice can be trusted as the world and our lives swirl in seeming disarray. Whatever you face today, God's ultimate victory offers an eternal perspective on temporary turmoil. What truth about God do you need most as you consider the future? Nothing is more certain than our God and his eternal plan. God gave John an incredible vision of Jesus that John could scarcely express. Clothed with majesty, armed with strength, and promising to return, Jesus' presence caused John to collapse in utter humility. How would you describe Jesus? While we appreciate his compassion and nearness to us, we must also recognize that Jesus reigns exalted above us in every possible way. A right view of God, his Son, and our rightful place before him must shape our perspective on everything in our lives. How might you wrongly relegate Jesus as a docile, passive, or casual observer of humanity? How does the truth about Jesus as revealed in Revelation 1 impact your life? God's unlimited power, absolute knowledge, and unstoppable purposes offer us perspective and peace. One name rises triumphantly and consistently throughout the book of Revelation. On every page, from the glorious introduction to the victorious conclusion, we will set our eyes on the hero of our faith and the inexhaustible focus of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the living one. Jesus deserves our worship. May God lead us to bow before Jesus now as we anticipate heaven's posture and our eternal song. What a savior. This concludes this week's lesson. Thanks for listening, and we'll join you again next week.